Joining us now on the Birmingham Broker Hotline, it's the one and only Debbie Schlissel. Debbie does politics.com. Debbie does movies.com. Greetings, Debbie. Are you just back from the big surge on the Capitol that took place yesterday? I know you must have been there, so.
I didn't know about that. What are you
talking about? It was a big QAnon thing.
The March 4th, yeah. You mean where Donald Trump is supposed to ride in with Melania on a motorcycle?
Right. The nonsense that gets sucked into this and the people that get sucked into the nonsense is a little distressing. You're like, well, the House canceled all votes today because of the fears of this. You're like, okay, at some point you have to be able to discern between real threats and stupid threats. And if you're not able to do that, I'm not sure that you're qualified to be a representative in the House of Representatives, you know?
Well, I mean, they were probably concentrating on the more important work of the week, which was to get rid of certain Dr. Seuss books and also to get rid of the vestiges of female cheerleading squads from pro NFL teams. I mean, that's very important right now, especially
clearly
in the middle of COVID, where people have had their businesses destroyed by liberal governors and their jobs stolen from them. So that's the important work of the people. You know, it's just interesting to me how they think these things are going to happen. I feel like every month there's going to be a new fictional story and the National Guard is never going to be brought home.
Yeah.
How many raw, horrible, disgusting meals do they have to eat before the National Guard was never supposed to be a standing army. It was supposed to be for emergencies. And it was never this purpose, and it's not a standing police force. If they want more police, they should find the financing for that. Maybe take something out of Nancy Pelosi's matching mask budget and pay for them. I don't know. But, I mean, this is absurd. And I'm just kind of shocked that people are standing for this, you know, that the Republicans haven't shouted louder about it. I know they've been critical of it, but I feel they should be holding up nominations over this.
Yeah, I would agree. It's crazy to me that they're allowing this to happen. But then again, once you get to Washington, I think the fog begins to permeate your brain. And you're like, oh, yeah, credible threat. Well, these are the people that we pay to tell us about credible threats. And they're saying this is a credible threat. So we should probably, we should probably listen to them. I say, look, the Secret Service is always going to err on the side of caution. Given the best case scenario for Secret Service is, Mr. President, you don't leave the White House ever and we surround you at all times. So that's never going to happen. It's like our own Dr. Harris in the state of Alabama or Jefferson County, where if you're waiting for this guy to say, it's okay, everyone, take your mask off, it's never going to happen. He's never going to be satisfied with where we are in the curve of COVID. Same with Fauci. They're always going to be like, nope, we don't have zero cases yet. We'd like to actually get to zero negative cases. Can we get to negative cases where some dead people come back to life? Then you can take your masks off. If you're waiting for that day, it's not going to happen.
Neanderthal thinking, Richard.
You know, my ancestors were Neanderthals. I'm offended by that, okay? I'm very upset.
By the way, if you look up Neanderthals actually have been reevaluated. And in fact, scientists have found and anthropologists have found that Neanderthal man was actually quite advanced compared to some of the others. And in fact, Neanderthal man could use the opposing thumb, develop tools, and so on. So whenever somebody says that it's Neanderthal thinking, I take that Neanderthal comment as a huge compliment, because usually the person uttering it, I'm not sure they have an opposable thumb, and I'm pretty sure they don't know how to use tools effectively, because that's racist.
Yeah, well, there you go. We're chatting with Debbie Schlissel. Debbie does politics.com. Debbie does movies.com. And there's been a narrative rewrite. I don't know if you heard this or not. Jen Psaki yesterday suggested that Donald Trump should deserve no credit for the vaccine because 500,000 people died of this horrible virus. I'm thinking, well, you know, some of those were on Biden's watch. I guess he doesn't get any credit for anything either, right? Is that how that works?
Well, I mean, according to the world, according to Joe Bonnix, we didn't even have a vaccine until Joe Biden came into office. Remember, he made that comment? Even though over a million people per day were being vaccinated under Donald Trump, we wouldn't even have a vaccine but for his Operation Warp Speed and so on. Yeah, she is constantly in the mode of revisionist history. And, you know, it's just fun to watch her try and, I guess, get in these, I would call it gymnast hooker pretzel twists, because they're so extreme and ridiculous. And, you know, I'm from Detroit, and we used to produce Dodges here, so I know what a Dodge is. She's not very good at it.
She has to keep circling back. It makes it difficult, you know. But it's interesting. Kayleigh McEnany yesterday, Kayleigh McEnany said, look, what this means, she says, first off, I wish her the best. It's a very hard job, which I love that. And she says, secondly, her having to circle back constantly is probably a sign that she's not getting much access. There's no real communication there. She said, I benefited from open door access to Donald Trump's Oval Office at all times. I could walk in on the president at any point, and before every time we did one of these press briefings, I'd sit down with a list of 10 things that I thought we were going to get asked, and I would run over them with him in great detail. And she said, I don't think Jen Psaki's getting that. And I'm thinking, I guarantee she's not getting that. I don't think anybody is sitting with Biden for more than a couple of seconds.
Well, I mean, if they were, I think they would realize that he's a doddering, demented old fool. I mean, remember when he said, okay, now we're ready to take questions? And they was met this week where they shut down the feed and wouldn't let
reporters. Suddenly the feed gets cut.
Yeah. And by the way, I heard this week from a federal agent friend of mine. I'm not going to say which agency he's in, but he works with the Secret Service. He's not a Secret Service agent. And he told me that when the Secret Service were protecting Biden when he came to Cleveland, that they had to wait a very long time. Apparently, this is what they're saying. I haven't been able to verify this because how would I? But they say that whenever Joe Biden falls asleep on the plane, that he, since he is so old, that there are accidents and he has to have a separate pair of pants and underwear at all times, and that Jill wants him to wear Depends and he won't. And so they have to wait till he gets a, I don't want to say use a racist term, but he gets a quickie shower using wipes. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
To be bathed and change. And that's what they're telling me. I mean, these are people who have told me things. They're totally reliable, have always come out to be absolutely accurate and true. So I would not be surprised if that story is true. Again, I haven't verified it. Nobody's shown me the dirty laundry.
Literal dirty laundry. I know this. If you want to get the scoop, talking to the Secret Service detail or those who are guarding those in power, I've had the opportunity to do so a couple of times, and I always find it fascinating because, you know, at some point, if you're surrounded by this security team 24/7, at some point you begin to act as if they're not there, you know, because you just, it's, this is the new normal. And so you say things and you do things and you behave in ways that they get to see. Hence the whole Arkansas State Trooper Bill Clinton, you know, he sent us out or used to make us drive him to his dates and things like that. You know, we got all the inside scoop on that out of the guys that were closest to him. A friend, one of my radio partners, his best friend and brother-in-law, same guy, worked with a Secret Service detail on Bill Clinton in Arkansas, and he told him, who then told me, which is a bad idea, they were going to have socks put down. The plan was before they went to the White House, they were going to give Socks the cat the needle. But the press, during a slow news time, suddenly started having interest in Socks the first cat, and they're like, and crap, we have to take a cat to the White House with us. That's
very,
the real scoop,
man.
that's the real scoop right there. H.R. 1, this is that huge making it easier for everyone to vote, making it impossible to use voter ID. It passed the House. One Democrat voted against it. No Republicans voted for it. It's ridiculous, of course. Mail-in balloting for everybody all the time. Early voting expanded, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Do you see this going anywhere in the Senate? Do you think it's going to make any headway?
I sure hope not. I mean, you know, all we need is for Joe Manchin to lose his prostitution streak and vote for this thing, and then Kamala Harris will vote for it, and then it'll pass. So I sure hope that doesn't happen. I think this bill is if you like all these illegal aliens who are already voting in elections, if you like the motor voter bill that was Bill Clinton's idea, you will love this because this is that on steroids. And I think it not only automatically registers everybody, it registers to vote people who are prisoners who are not eligible.
Yep.
Not all
yep.
of them are. It automatically registers to vote more illegal aliens, people who are living here on green cards who are not eligible to vote. This is really going to be, if you thought there was fraud in this last election, and we'll never know, we have some instances, but we'll never know how grand it was because there really never were any investigations and the judge, you know, in terms of the courts ever deciding anything on substance, it was all right. on technicalities. This is going to be that. I mean, this is going to be that on steroids. And, you know, I read about this guy named Earl Mazo. Earl Mazo was this Jewish journalist who he happened to be Jewish, who I think was an AP reporter. He was a mainstream media reporter, and he was tasked to look into voter fraud during Kennedy and Nixon. And he originally thought that the Republicans cheat as much as the Democrats, but he actually found widespread voter fraud on the part of the Democrats and very little, actually, relatively speaking, on the part of the Republicans. And he wrote about it. And he was, like I said, I think he was an AP reporter. And so, I mean, I guess, therefore, he must be a nut and he must be a right-wing wacko and a neo-Nazi because he actually did this election investigation and actually did the homework and found what he found, which was widespread fraud. And he was, by the way, the author of Richard Nixon, A Political and Personal Portrait. And he wrote about all these things. I mean, this was the 1960 presidential election. So this has yep. been going on, but we are going to see it on such a massive scale. That must be stopped, that bill.
Yeah, I would think so. Well, we still have the filibuster in the Senate. I mean, it's going to take 60 votes to even start debate on the subject. And my guess is they're not going to get 60 votes as long as Joe Manchin holds out on that. Yeah, keep a good thought. Hey, we got to take a break. 12:43. We'll come back, see what Debbie's seen at the movies. Stick around. It's Richard Dixon. Talk 99.5. Talk99.5.com. Let's get back to Debbie Schlissel. Debbie does politics.com. Debbie does movies.com. I've read some bad things about it, Debbie. I've read some bad things about it. It's not going to stop me from sitting down tonight and watching Coming to America with a number two in the middle because the original is one of my all-time favorite movies. Have you seen it, and what do you think of it?
It is absolutely horrible, and yes, I've seen it. It is so bad. If you liked the original, you will hate this. I personally loved the original, thought it was very wholesome, cute movie. You know, this guy wants to meet the Prince of Zamunda, wants to meet his own wife and not be match made into some loveless marriage. And he goes to the Queens, you know, the premise.
Sure.
This one, it's just not wholesome. There's lots of raunchy jokes that aren't funny. If they were funny, maybe that would be something, but they just aren't. And anything that has two words in it, in the cast, and those two words are Leslie Jones, is for me a hard pass. And Leslie Jones is a very big part of this. So basically, he has flashbacks, and apparently he didn't realize this, but he was stoned on pot and had sex with Leslie Jones, but he doesn't remember this, and he has an heir to the throne of Zamunda. He becomes the king of Zamunda, but not before James Earl Jones, the king of Zamunda, his father, has a funeral while he's alive with performances by Gladys Knight, by Salt and Peppa, and by En Vogue. Oh, and also Morgan Freeman is at the funeral and or at this living funeral and uses the F word. all these jokes were just gross and stupid. And also, the whole premise was stupid that he has this son, and now the son needs to marry the daughter of the banana dictator of the next door country, which is called Nextdoria. How creative. And he wants to marry his own love. And he's, you know, this kid from the hood in Manhattan, and he wants to do his own thing. So it's all about that, and it's just stupid as could be. You know, the barbershop scenes, I think you and I will agree, were some of the best scenes in the original Coming to America, where Eddie Murphy and Arsenio Hall played all different roles, including old Jewish men and so on. Even they have two barbershop scenes, and even those to me are total duds. It's like they took a charming movie and they had some lowlife person create a new thing out of it. And just, it's like a 2-year-old lowlife porn star took it over and knew that they couldn't make it X-rated. So they told these really horrible R-rated jokes. It's just so bad. And Leslie Jones, I mean, really, come on. So
yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't care for Leslie Jones in much. There's very little I've seen her in that I think she's funny. I'm constantly amazed that people keep hiring her. And this really isn't a surprise to me, because it seems like whenever Eddie Murphy goes back to try to recapture the magic of an earlier time, as he did with Beverly Hills Cop 3, it's like nowhere near as good as the first two. Another 48 Hours, nowhere near as good as the first one. And now we have Coming to America 30 years later, and it's like, really? We're trying? Okay. I guess I'll watch it because I want to kind of revisit those people and see what they're up to. But I won't expect much of it. How about that?
Yeah, and I sat through all the credits to see the stinger or whatever you call it. Not worth it. Not worth my time. Just like the rest of this movie, I was literally texting my friend who's a former moderate Republican turned, I think, nothing right now. Director in Hollywood, and I was texting him, and I'm like, please don't watch this movie. When you get the screener, you will thank me. I'm performing a service. This is so bad.
Yeah, well, you know, you're doing God's work out there. I also, when I heard that John Landis wasn't involved, I was like, what? He's still alive, right? Why would we not do that? Anyway, what else? Anything else at the movies? I got another 2.5 minutes to kill.
All right, so there are a few new movies. You know, one that I found interesting, but there's really no plot to it, is called Truffle Hunters. A lot of it's in Italian with subtitles, but it's in mainstream movie theaters, and it's about truffle hunters. And, you know, it's not a documentary. It's actors, but it's about how valuable they are and the kind of trading that goes on for them and searching for them. And it was interesting. It was okay. The other movie, there are a few others. Chaos Walking, I hated this movie. It's about how in the future, the men are the only survivors, women don't survive, and then this woman falls to the planet from outer space. And all the men's thoughts, you can hear them. So when they walk around, you can hear them, what their thoughts are out loud. And people keep telling them, control your noise, control your noise. This was so distracting and annoying. And it was a gimmick, and the plot was terrible. I hated that. There's this movie, Boogie, about this Chinese-American basketball player, but he's a problem child, and he's trying to get a scholarship. Wasn't for me. It was mildly entertaining. And then there was this movie, Pixie, about these criminal kids in Ireland who are trying to come upon some pot and some drugs, and they're trying to sell them and make money. Wasn't funny. And by the way, Alec Baldwin, that's another two words I don't like in movies. He's in it playing an Irish priest, and his Irish accent is so bad. What, they couldn't come up with an Irish actor to play an Irish priest for a film shot in Ireland? And then finally, there's this movie that's streaming that I was shocked at how good it is. Even though I didn't like the ending, it's actually a good argument for pro-life, even though I don't want to give away the ending, but the ending is not pro-life. But this woman, who is black, agrees to have be a surrogate for her biracial gay couple best friends. And when they find out that the kid is likely going to have Down syndrome, they and her upper-class black parents and everybody else
Ooh.
Are pressuring her to get an abortion. And she
okay, give us the name because we're out of time. What's the name of it?
The surrogate.
All right, we'll check it out. Marvelous, Debbie. Thank you as always. We appreciate it. We'll do it next Friday. Have a great weekend.
You too.
There you go. First News Time. Talk 99.5.